All right, we're going to get this right one of these days. Hey guys, we're back on the Smokescreen podcast. I am Chris, back with my co-host James.
Hello.
And we have our first guest here tonight. We mentioned him before. You've seen him on the channel before. I think the last time, Ho, you were here, we did a Star Wars review. Is that right?
Star Wars Rogue One.
Star Wars Rogue One review. Okay, so it wasn't the horrible one. No, yeah, that was me and Eric. That's right. Eric came over to do the bad Star Wars.
That's right.
So, anyway.
Yeah, I couldn't do that one.
Yeah, it was too. We tried to be nice about it.
I would have been nice. I'd have been mad.
Yeah, we ended up saying everything we needed to say, but it was, we tried to be a little nicer than than how we would normally talk. But anyway, so, yeah, for those who are not aware, this is a new podcast series on the channel, and be sure to listen to the first one, a little pilot episode James and I did last week.
It was lots of fun.
And, yeah, and we kind of go over, you know, what this is going to be, what our plans are for it. It's going to be kind of a free-for-all, actually. We'll be talking in more detail about what we plan to do as far as, you know, a permanent studio, working on that in the background. So in the meantime, we're just sitting around the living room with this new great equipment. Again, thanks to Doc Holliday. Appreciate it. Longtime Patreon supporter. This podcast is available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Spotify, and Podbean. Did I get them all? I don't know. I think I got them all. And Ho stopped by, so I think you guys have just started talking about comics again. I've had the Marvel itch because of Endgame coming out. And James, you were talking about kind of DC versus Marvel. Why? I guess this is what we're in the direction you were going. Yeah, you explain it.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, why is it that DC's having such a hard time playing catch up after The Dark Knight did so well? And
yeah,
I was just throwing out the premise that in my mind, and I'm just speaking for myself, but I would like to do some more, you know, searching on this topic. It feels to me like Marvel is a more mature storyline and group of characters that I almost feel like I graduated from DC to Marvel at about 12, probably.
Yeah, and I said, when you said that, I was like, that's a great way to put it. And you said, take off the training wheels. That's right. It works.
DC sets you up to be able to deal with Marvel when you get mature enough.
And adults.
Yeah.
So, and it goes back to what you were saying, I think, and I think it makes a lot of sense and jives with what James is saying. It's like they invest more in the characters, and they have the backstories, and you know, the three Iron Mans, for example, before you just, you know, meet him. Mm-hmm. And so you know this cat in real life, what he does, but you know, beyond being a superhero. And they've got a I think it boils down to a plan, doesn't it? Besides just kind of trying to catch up,
because Marvel's has this stuff like planned out like 10 years in advance,
right? So
I mean, they've been setting up Infinity War for like 10 years
and planned the Easter eggs and all that stuff.
And
yeah,
whenever you watch a Marvel movie, you feel like the characters are like chore.
Right.
Yes.
It's like you see Iron Man, he seems like Iron Man to you. Thor seems like Thor.
Yes. Right.
Hulk seems like Hulk.
Totally agree. Yeah.
It's like they're not trying to change them up to make them fit into what the director thinks is cool or whatever.
Yeah, they're truer to their origins as opposed to some directors, like, you know, he or she kind of knew about the character, and then, you know, got into directing and then got a role or got hired to do this movie, and then it's his or her vision of what, instead of Stan Lee's.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So that's maybe a good way to put it.
Yeah. So, and they're definitely not on the same page. It's like a bunch of different writers coming together, and then one wants to do their own thing, and there's no guidelines or something.
And like Hope was saying about them planning it 10 years in advance, I mean, Marvel has created this. People stay until after the credits.
Yes.
I mean, I'm starting to do it with every movie now, just in case they've influenced other
people. And if
you
don't, you Google it. You'll sit in the theater and Google it before you leave. Like, is there an end credit scene? Yes, there is.
You'll know there's an end credit scene before you even go because you...
Yes.
That's right.
Saw an article.
Yeah, or an article said something. Be sure to stick around. And now there's two.
So that lets you know that there was a clearly defined blueprint for all of this somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, they're signing their actors to like 9-year, I mean, I'm sorry, not 9-year, but 9-picture deals. Yes. Like Samuel Jackson was signed up for like 9 pictures.
Right.
Right, as Nick Fury, and then, you know, Captain America. Yeah. This is his last one, obviously. But he was in what? What is that? It was 6, 8? I don't remember how many we have now.
I know Bucky's got like, or the guy that's playing Bucky's, he was signed up for like 6 or something when he first came on board.
Right, and so he's got a few more to go, so we know what's happening there, obviously, I think. We won't go into potential spoilers, I think, for Infinity War or Endgame, but I think we kind of know what that means.
How did DC kill it so good with The Dark Knight and then all of a sudden forget how to make superhero movies that adults would like?
Yeah, it's and what year was it? Was the last Dark Knight movie? Because that was a great series. That was I didn't like the last one as much.
I didn't like the third one.
I didn't like the third one as much for damn sure.
I liked it a lot, but not as good. Not as good.
Yeah, it's definitely. So that was what year was that? I don't know. It seems to me maybe it has something to do with the political climate at the time, you know, where that's changed. Certainly affected Star Wars. We just kind of talked about that a minute ago, how we did a review for Star Wars The Last Jedi here, and it was the first time I was sad about Star Wars. I had never, and like, you know, you get so excited about a new Star Wars movie. It's the biggest thing of the year. Brings back the childhood memories, and then, you know, you hear the fanfare, you see it pop up on screen a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then to come out of that theater just going, what the fuck did we just watch?
Yeah, it's like I've only seen it once.
Yeah, I have. Me too. I mean,
usually I'm like going back like multiple times while still in the theater. Yes. As soon as it comes out on Blu-ray, I'm getting it. But this one just like, yeah, I was mad too.
Yeah, know? And so that's kind of what's happened recently with DC for me.
Well, those were, just for the record, those were 2005, 2008, and 2012.
Okay, so 12 was the last one then with Bane.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was, besides Wonder Woman, the last, I think, good DC movie?
Yeah.
I mean, where you like really think, okay, that's a great movie.
It was The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger playing the Joker.
Yeah, I mean, he's perfect. He was perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah, now that I will say this.
That was their peak right there.
They've had it was. They've had some
like
good.
He seemed like the Joker to me. He was like, I mean, I know I've seen like different versions of the Joker, but his wasn't like too crazy. It was, and you could tell he was.
Well, like he was crazy. That's what made it great. He was actually crazy. Yeah. So,
I would like to.
I mean,
know
he didn't
how,
go like over the top crazy is what I mean. He was, you know.
Well, it wasn't too over comic-y like the old Jack Nicholson, which was a great Joker for that time, and for how Tim Burton did those movies.
It was perfect. Yeah,
he did them comic-y.
Style, yep.
He did it that style, that Tim Burton style. So that worked. But yeah.
Now, I would like to know what it would be like to watch the Christopher Reeve first Superman through my adult eyes, because as a kid, I loved it.
Yes.
Have you seen it recently?
No. I mean, my adult eyes with the expectations of the special effects and everything.
Yeah,
of that
time. Special effects have kind of let you down a little bit. They've aged.
But do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If I could retrofit my brain to where I wouldn't expect any better than what they did in 78 or whatever it was.
Right, right.
But through an adult's eyes at that time, because I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they came out with the 1989 Batman with Michael Keaton, and that hit a home run for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you said, that was the style he was shooting for, so nobody expected anything different. That run kind of petered out, I think. It kind of shot itself in the foot by staying so comic-y.
It did. I think Dr. Freeze ruined it. At that point, it was already bad, but it got just worse.
He's making Freeze puns. And
yes. Yep. Arnold Schwarzenegger did not belong.
Nipples on the bath suit.
That movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, what were they thinking putting nipples
on? But yeah, we watched a little clip of the old Lou Ferrigno Hulk the other night, and it was
horrible.
I mean, with Thor, the scene with Thor, and
totally
all he did was flex. He didn't even fight. It was horrible. But I remember loving that show.
Yeah.
As a
loved
kid.
It.
I mean, just damn.
I just,
it was bad. It was real bad.
Is there something, are we holding on to something dear from our childhood with DC, and that's what keeps it on life support right now? Would it already be stomped out if we weren't holding on to some of those characters?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. It's obviously, you were talking about Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. I mean, Wonder Woman was outstanding. I loved Wonder Woman.
And so I thought it was good.
That's the exception.
Solid, yeah. I liked it, too.
That's the exception to me for this whole modern DC movies.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's Superman. It's Batman. You're not going to not want to see it. But right. When you compare it to Marvel, it's just not the same caliber. And I guess it, like we talked about, it goes back to planning. And I mean, I think Henry Cavill was a good. I think he's a good Superman.
Yeah, he's. Yeah. I think he's convincing.
But really then they don't follow up on it. You never really had a Superman movie. You had an origin story, a couple little things where he, saved a few people, right? And then he just immediately jumps into this massive universal catastrophe.
True.
They never had him.
True.
Rescuing the cat out of the tree and being Clark Kent at work.
Dude, that's a really good point.
And they skipped it. They skipped all of that. And that's part of the origin story.
Yeah, they skipped on.
You're right.
They're missing a lot of stuff Lois Lane set up.
Yeah, they completely went straight to Zod.
Man, that's a good point. Whereas the first one, the one I'm talking about from 78 or whatever,
yes,
Zod was in the second one,
you
right?
Saw him as, right, you saw him as a kid growing up with his parents, and you saw the Clark Kent and the clumsiness and how he interacted in the office. And so you were more invested in that actual character, that Superman, that Clark Kent. Whereas these, he's great. He looks like the part for damn sure. Yes. And when he talks, he's fine as far as his acting. But you never saw him but little tiny flashes of him growing up and with his dad and that relationship and all that. And it went straight to Zod.
You're right.
It went straight to other Kryptonians being there. And then, of course, the next movie was never even a Superman movie. It was a Batman movie.
Yeah.
It was a Batman movie with Superman in it.
By introducing Zod so early, it takes away from how awesome Superman is and gives a lot of power awesomeness to how, you know what I mean, Zod.
Yeah.
Like the first one, you're sold. Superman is the baddest MF-er on Earth. The second one, we got three people here that have same powers.
Basically, yeah.
So we're counting on his earthly instincts that he was raised to outwit him and all that stuff.
And then they had the disadvantage of the atmosphere, but then Zod just, he was raised a warrior because he was made to be a warrior, literally. And then he just breathes for 10 minutes or less, does a couple push-ups, and he's good. He can fly. So that's where it became a little silly.
But I think we all have said off mic that we like Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yes.
I did too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought in the bat suit, he looked the part. I thought he did fine.
Yeah, because that was what I was dreading the most.
He was a little more jokey and stuff than, Batman is in the comics or animated shows or whatever, but no big deal.
Yeah, right. And by the way, everybody, Ho is the old school Batman freak, and he's going to, which is why we have him here. He can point out the comic versions.
Absolutely.
But he is like hardcore. You can't change Batman ever.
And Ho, Ho's partial to DC too, I believe. Yeah. I know you like the Flash.
Yeah, I grew up like with the DC characters mainly. Like I watched Super Friends when I was a kid.
Yeah,
I did watch Spider-Man, so I remember that. I liked Spider-Man. But the rest of I knew who the other Marvel people were.
Right.
But I didn't really grow up watching their cartoons or anything like that. But knowledge I have now is because, my girlfriend used to work third shift and I'd be like at home and it's bored and I'd just start looking up stuff on Wikipedia and stuff and then you just kind of go through that rabbit hole and I like reading about comics about what's happened even though I didn't really grow up reading the actual comics themselves.
Well, prior to Wikipedia, I remember you having those encyclopedias of characters and all that stuff at your house. Yeah, the books, the actual books, and reading their backstories.
Yeah, see, Ho just never graduated. He never took the training wheels off.
I think that's what it is. I watched Super Friends. I liked them. The Wonder Twins and all that on there. When it was the Spider-Man that would come on, whereas this is Stan Lee, and he would introduce it and all that stuff. And the Incredible Hulk. They were all those.
Watch that show.
Those were really good when I was a kid. Well, the Wonder Twins were made specifically for that show, I believe. They didn't have any kind of comic background.
I think so,
I didn't think there were any kind of DC canon.
And the other thing about Superman I wanted to say really quick was, as far as this current version, like we were talking about, he's all of a sudden, Zod's in his face and can fly in 5 or 6 minutes, and then he's got an equal. Well, then they go back in Justice League, and then he's, dead the whole time or whatever. He's not really dead, but, they bring him back, and they're fighting, what's his name? I'm having a brain fart. Who's the villain?
Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf, yeah, yeah, because Darkseid is the main guy coming, right?
Yeah.
But he shows up to the fight, and all of a sudden he's back to invincible. They fear him. They fear the Kryptonian. Even Steppenwolf did, and that's why he lost, because he feared him. Because he's unstoppable.
Right.
So they went from, you know, oh, he got killed, you know, and which was ridiculous, to kill off Superman. In the second stupid Superman movie, essentially. Yeah.
I never liked,
Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor, thank you.
I hated him. He was absolutely terrible.
They could have cast that better.
You're talking about specifically Jesse Eisenberg? Yeah.
Yeah, and the horrible look of him and everything.
Yeah, because, Lex Luthor's like not some nerdy looking guy that's laughing and being just.
Yeah, he was the Joker almost. Yeah, he was a jokery.
Lex Luthor was like, you know, the smartest guy in the room type guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he was like serious and stuff.
He's got some, you know, some suave know, about him.
Agreed.
So, I think that's that kind of what we were saying earlier. It's kind of a change of what the characters were, how they were originally written. And because you got to think, it's not like they were just written in one comic to find Lex Luthor or Superman or Clark Kent or Batman. I mean, you're talking about years and years and years that define these people.
It's like, how'd they miss out? How'd they miss that? Or what caused them to change their mind? Did they not have think tanks or,
Right. I mean, were these actual fans, you know, from being a child, in their childhood, where they read comics and they just, I don't know. It's like they ignored the origin stories and kind of what defines them as people, as opposed to just, because, yes, they have their same superpowers. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the important part, though, of the character.
Yeah, it's like who you are without the superpowers is just as
exactly
important as who you are with them.
Because Tony Stark's the perfect example from Marvel. You could watch a Tony Stark movie and him never suit up.
Yeah,
yes, you would watch that movie and it would be a great fucking movie.
Yep.
So same thing, Peter Parker in high school.
Right.
You could watch him go through, never put on the suit, walk through high school, and you know, get in fights and whatever, learn his powers there. And he never puts on the suit and goes and rescues a cat. And it'll be a good movie.
Yeah.
I think. So
one thing with DC is it's like got the success of Marvel, and they've definitely got the head start on them for like creating like their shared universes. But it's like DC just try to rush it.
I think you're right.
No doubt.
And they were like skipping steps. It's like they go straight to like the death of Superman in the second movie.
That's horrible.
Yeah, and it was definitely a Marvel catch-up move, I think.
And like Doomsday was just like, I mean, his like origin in the comics is a lot more interesting than what you got on film. It was just
it was dumb. Just to say it plainly, it was dumb. It was not even.
It's like there's like it's like they were saying, okay, Death of Superman was like really big, and the Return of Superman is really big. Let's go ahead and do that movie right quick. Without any setup to it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Because, like, in the movie universe, Superman dies and everybody's like, I don't give a damn. Right. I mean, I saw him on the news one time.
Right. We're not invested.
But he had not been a member of the community long enough.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but they did show the mourning scenes and hanging up the capes and all that stuff and the statue and shit.
They showed it, but he didn't earn it.
Right.
He didn't earn that respect.
I mean, you're assuming that between movies, he just spent 10 years saving kids and women and cats and pulling people out of fires, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They thought, the audience could do all that in their head.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's the way.
It didn't work out for him.
No, it didn't. And then after Wonder Woman, you know, I had high hopes for Justice League.
Yeah.
And
Aquaman.
And it wasn't horrible. And
Justice League was okay. I was afraid it was going to be terrible, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I was afraid it was going
right.
to be. So, but it was just okay.
And I liked, I went into it thinking, okay, I'm going to like Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. I don't really dig Cyborg that much, never really have as far as a comic character. And I like the Flash, but I'm not. I love the Flash. I love the new Flash.
Mm-hmm.
The character fits. He fits for sure. And Cyborg, I liked a lot better than I thought I would.
Yeah, agreed.
So they got that part.
There were some really cool Flash scenes in there, I thought.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I look forward to that solo movie. But again, it's kind of backwards. And I like Marvel did a little bit of that. You had Spider-Man coming in event, you know, sorry, Civil War. And so he had his little scene, but then they tied that in perfectly when they did, you know, Spider-Man Homecoming with him, like, recording himself, you know, and it wrapped it, it tied it in perfectly. And then you went into his, you know, kind of an origin story. They kind of skipped the whole spider bite thing because you had seen it a billion times. Yeah. So they did it in a unique way that worked.
My thing is, you know, they did the really quick intros. What was it on? Was it Superman versus Batman where you got the just, was it black and white pictures?
And Batman didn't even come up with that intel. It was like he stole that from Lex Luthor.
Right. And so you knew they were getting ready for the Justice League. And then the Wonder Woman kicks ass. You have high hopes. They did the short little bit of origin in there for, like you say, you know, Flash and all them. But then you get Aquaman with a standalone movie. I had high hopes because of Wonder Woman. And I was disappointed in that movie.
I didn't like Aquaman at all. You know, that's, I mean,
big budget.
I liked it better. I mean, compared to like Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, I was just happy that it didn't suck. Well, I mean, I did like how colorful it was and stuff. And the story was okay. It wasn't like great. I still like Wonder Woman a ton better. But
you say you like it better than Batman versus Superman?
Yeah.
But your only flaw with Batman Superman is the guns?
No, that's like just one thing that was wrong with like Man of Steel.
Okay, we might as well go ahead and let's argue about it. Let's argue about Batman not shooting people. This is what we're going to.
I just
because we and Jose had this conversation before.
I mean, you know, you I can see if you got a little issue with that, right? I mean, that's kind of like a small thing in the course of whether you say a movie's good or not, right? Oh, he got a gun, so the whole movie sucks.
Oh, no.
Versus a dude riding a fucking seahorse. You know, I just can't get it grasp of that. No, yeah, like, where are all these giant seahorses? And
sharks with freaking laser beams.
Yeah, where is it? You know.
He was okay, and the movie was okay, and I liked Mirith.
Yeah.
But... yeah, the seahorse thing and talking underwater, whereas before they specifically established in you know, Justice League that they made bubbles.
I know, and it worked.
And all of a sudden now they're just talking underwater.
America made dope bubbles, not everybody in Atlantis, I don't think.
But they made a bubble to stop and talk, and it doesn't make sense. Yes, it's a superhero movie. Yeah. But come on, there's still laws of physics on Earth.
Right.
You can't, it'd be like, war, 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 war. But no, yeah. It was clear, there was no bubbles. Everybody could yell and scream during a fight. I mean, it was just, come on, man.
Yeah, you get knocked back really fast and all that
shit.
Yeah,
but it was colorful. It was colorful, I'll give it that.
Right.
Like, somebody knew where the light bulb was.
Exactly, because Atlantis would be fucking pitch black. But, oh, no, they got electricity or power source from somewhere, sorry.
Ben Affleck's Batman was, I liked him. I just, you know, there's just a couple little nitpicky things I didn't like about him, but overall, I would say he was a good Batman. And you know, he did, like, shoot some people, which I don't think that's in character for him. But
yeah, I like Ben Affleck. When I first heard he was Batman, I was like, oh, no. They've already fucked up. But then he was, like, one of the best parts about it, actually.
I mean, he jumps in that warehouse, kicks everybody's ass like he did. It was like, okay, that's, like, what I would expect Batman to fight like.
Yeah, that was great. That was a great fight scene. Saving Martha. Right.
Yeah.
You know, one of the that reminds me of that show. I can watch it every day. Don't bring it up. Yeah. Fuck you. That's so hilarious. I didn't know that guy had a whole entire show doing
Commissioner Gordon. Yeah. There was another man here.
Exactly. But that show of him firing the X-Men is outstanding, where he plays Professor X firing the X-Men.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Anyway.
Well, my thing is, like I was saying earlier, is I think of Bruce Wayne as, you know, DC's Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And so
right, yeah.
If Tony Stark can use rockets, bombs, you know, energy blasts out of his hand, that's going to do way worse than a gun or a pistol. I mean, you just picture a billionaire using gadgets And guns are nothing more than gadgets.
And he has all lethal. He has rockets and bullets and all that shit in his gadgets.
Yeah.
But it's like he somehow wants to prevent somebody from dying.
Does he not think when he blows a hole through a wall for the Batmobile to drive through that exactly. there's going to be, you know, collateral damage?
Exactly. And he don't check. I mean, is right. he checking? Is like he stop and make sure? So yeah, I've always had an issue
he
with that.
He scanned it.
Okay, here we go. I mean, Ho is going to be a staunch supporter of the no-kill policy. And yeah, I just don't. I don't buy
like,
it.
Especially not, like no gun for that character.
It's not.
I
realistic.
Know it makes sense in the real world that he'd be shooting people, but
it does. Yeah.
Part of his like the, one of the main things about his character is that he is anti-gun, and if he was going around killing the criminals and stuff, you know, the Gotham PD would be out like all over his ass just to get on his case too bad because he's not out there killing the criminals.
Right. He's not the jury, the judge, yes. executioner.
I get
right.
that. I'm not like proposing he killed yeah. every little criminal
like
he comes across.
Spider-Man shooting him up in a web and putting a note there for yeah. the cops, you know?
right. yeah. which is very cool.
Yeah.
Nothing could have been cooler to see like his gadgets, his non-lethal gadgets. Like instead of a straight up bullet coming out, it'd be like some kind of a missile that separates and then it throws a net on them or goo on them or, you know, something. They could have done something really cool.
And that right there, what you just described, is what hurts DC for me. That's what I feel like I have to graduate from.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just yeah, a personal preference.
It's not
thing.
Just like your average, like, you know, guy who robs a bank. He don't deserve to get shot. I'm saying, like, these horrible people who are murderers.
Yeah.
You wrap them up in a net, you got to deal with them the next movie.
Right.
you know, or the next yeah, comic.
That's right.
He never, like, gets rid of his it's like he enjoys to fight, apparently, because right. he wants to fight him again with another gadget.
And these guys are trying to kill him, right?
Yes, they're trying you know, to definitely kill
he's
him.
He's definitely bulletproof because he knows they have guns. And, you know, Bane broke his freaking back.
he did you five know? Push-ups, got to pop back in. He was back in the game.
They were great chiropractors in that prison.
Yeah,
exactly. He just lucky he had somebody who could, you know, strap him up by a rope and then push his back in his, like, literally in his body because it was showing.
And then he was jumping cliffs and stuff. Decided to.
Yeah, he had to climb out of the pit, you know, so he did.
They didn't show him going through, like, 5 years of opiate addiction.
exactly. They skipped all that. By the time he got out, the whole war's over. I mean, Gotham destroyed at that time. But, yeah, they just skipped that, did five push-ups, and he was jumping out the hole. He was out.
that nobody else could get out of.
exactly. And he did it with a broken back.
Right. And the key, of course, to get out of that hole was not to use a rope. That was the key. Believe in yourself.
Yep.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
I don't remember. I only saw that movie once.
I think it's time for us to establish Ho's favorite character.
Oh, God,
which
yes.
Which would, you know, let everybody in on why he's such a big Batman fan to begin with.
Robin.
Yep.
Specifically Dick Grayson.
Yeah, the Dick Grayson Robin.
Yeah.
And Nightwing is the evolution.
Yeah, it was mostly Nightwing instead of Robin, but
well, I know, but you're I've never enjoyed, even when I was young, I've never really gave a shit about Robin. I think he's okay, and I like the idea of a guy who's, you know, talented because of his family being in the circus,
yeah,
and all that. That's cool, but I just. Even as a kid, I just didn't dig the tights and the just, holy whatever, Batman. Yeah. I just couldn't stand it.
Yeah, that got annoying quick.
Wait, the TV show?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I do like the idea of a partner sidekick type character. I do like that idea.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. You it know? Was just, he was like, it was openly cheesy.
Oh, I mean, yeah. It was like he had like a 13-year-old, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was like goofy when I was kid watching it, but like when I, you know, grew up and started reading about Robin and Dick Grayson and stuff, I find out that that's not like how he is in the comics.
Right.
You know, he's not Holy Metal Islands Batman. You know what I mean?
Right,
he's
with like, their shark repellent.
And you know, he did have to, you know, they could have given him like some pants.
put on some pants.
But like the other Robins have had pants that right. came after him.
Yeah, and I guess that's why you have the Red Hoods and Nightwings and stuff like that, because a lot of people think the way we're talking about it is, you know, it's kind of an old school cheesy character. We need a badass, kind of like Batman. Can still be a sidekick or
yeah.
an offshoot because Bruce Wayne's getting old. Right. He's got to get old someday and retire. He's human. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's probably why, you know, I'm sure we got the Nightwings and Red Hoods and all these other whatever variation. That's the other thing I will say is my pet peeve about comics, comic movies, and movies in general is these damn alternate universes. I can't stand it.
Can't either.
I cannot stand, okay, well, we're doing this movie, but it's not in your universe. So we could be all about different.
Movie-wise.
So this is why I didn't watch those movies that they called Star Trek. These newer ones that were in they're flying around in similar ships in space.
Yeah.
You know, that movie that they labeled Star Trek, and I'm doing air quotes, by the way.
That's not real Star Trek.
That's not Star Trek.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's not, because they just blew up Vulcan. You just changed everything in history that I've ever learned. You know, it's like Star Wars people booting off all the old legend stuff now. It's legends that used to be canon.
And comics are horrible for alternate universes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
They are. That's their answer to anything they want to.
It's exactly. Do, that's how know? They can keep doing more comics, where they can keep having these crossovers and whatever. Is they just, well, we're not going to worry about any continuity. We'll just create a whole new universe. Universe number 17. Or now it's what, 732 or 7,000? I don't know.
Well, DC's supposed to have 52, but they only,
oh my God, see, well, they
only,
actually,
they only focus on really like one or two of them.
Yeah, but that's just ridiculous.
It, I mean, come really, on. Really is.
Like, I mean, who can keep up with that? Like, in, you know, it's Earth number 19.
Yeah, that's tough.
I've never dug the whole thing. The cop outs with different universes and time travel. You know, time travel is a Star Trek thing. Leave it out of, you know what I mean? Leave it out of comic movies. Although, I mean, I'm not saying completely. Obviously, we got a time stone coming up, you know, thing
right.
with Endgame. But when it's used properly is what I'm saying, I guess.
Because you got to figure, at some point, the bad guys are going to win a couple battles here and there.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to lose some heroes. I say... Yeah. Let's mourn them and move on, and another hero rise up in their spot. So
that's
if you're
right.
strong enough, if you're ready to write them out for good. Don't write it out and use a magic eraser later and bring them back.
Right. It's kind of like this is why Game of Thrones is so popular. I mean, seriously.
No, you're right.
Because they had the balls to kill their main character in the first season or the first book, whichever you're talking about. And it shocked people, and people were thinking, well, he's really not dead, you know. He warged into the birds. No, he's dead. He's straight up dead, and we moved on.
Right.
We remember Ned, and he's brought back up and all that stuff.
Right.
But you move on to other characters and the storylines that progress the story. So, yeah, don't have this thing, like you said, the magic eraser where, oh, but he just, you know, right before he died, you know.
It's like nobody in comics stays dead.
Right. They never do. Never. They can't, because they have to have the next line of issues.
It's like clickbait.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
The death of Superman.
Not really. Yeah. So it don't hit you as hard.
Gotcha. It was all a dream.
So when you read it, when you read the story.
Whatever. I mean, I don't know the story. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's basically in a coma.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So you know when you read something like that in a comic or in one of these new movies, if they go that route, well, I'm not saying they will necessarily DC, but it don't. You don't really buy it. So it don't hit you as hard.
What are your thoughts on like legacy characters, which, in my opinion, it would allow for characters to die and not come back.
But then, pass the mantle?
Yeah.
I like that.
Sure. Pass the mantle's fine.
I could deal with that. Yep.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about, like, backstories with them. Like, you know, somebody dies in the current timeline, but then you can still do a movie or a comic series on them, but it's just in the past or something.
Oh, no, I'd be all right with that,
that's
too.
Fine as long as that's the same universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you just like side stories of a dead
either
character.
Of those two are a good answer to the dilemma we just posed.
Exactly.
I know, like the Barry Allen Flash, you know, he died. He was dead for like 20 years, but they had another Flash. Of course. Wally West, which was his nephew, and he was like Kid Flash under him. He was like a sidekick to him. He became the new Flash.
Yeah.
But then
and Robin Barry Allen becoming Batman, I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Like, Dick, I mean, you know, Batman seemingly died, and then Dick Grayson took over, became Batman, which I've got, like, that trade paperback, and it was, like, interesting. He was, like, a different kind of Batman, and he kind of struggled. He didn't want to be Batman, but he felt like he needed to.
He wanted to have his own statue. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying.
Pretty much.
But he saw, like, Batman as kind of like a tragic figure. Like, he was, like, never happy, and that's not Dick Grayson. He's, like, the other side of the coin. He's, like, happy. He's optimistic, and he didn't want to be the dark brooding guy. He didn't want he saw what Batman, being Batman, did to Bruce Wayne, and he didn't want that for himself.
Right. Damn, that just...
I would assume...
That just made me sad.
Yeah.
Because the way he was telling it is like...
Well, I would assume, though, that... Like, the way I would look at that, if I was in his shoes, is I'm a different person than Bruce Wayne. I'm not going to let it get me that way. Well, I'll finished, do this a little bit differently or whatever.
Well, so. He did end up having a conversation with Alfred, and Alfred was like, you know, just, you know, you're from a family of performers, so just treat it as a performance. You know, you're acting like Batman. You're not being Batman.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, that's some good advice, Alfred. So
what about switching gears just a little bit? Shazam is getting good reviews.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be a different universe than the Justice League universe?
I think it's supposed to be the same one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't. I can't tell you about DC stuff, so I hope it's the same one, because, again, I can't stand the whole, let's ignore, you know, this city over here is blowing up in this movie, but he's over here not even involved, because, you know, the end of the world's at stake with Steppenwolf and, you know, Darkseid coming. And then he's over here worrying about bubblegum, you know, robbers.
Yeah. Shit. And he's powerful enough to be right over there helping.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I mean.
I'm kind of like, looking forward to that movie, though.
I'll check it out. I'm not going to, you know, it's not like a Justice League level or Wonder Woman to me, but it'd be fun, I'm sure.
Wonder why they would look at it and go, let's make him goofy. You know, let's make him like childish and almost right on the same level as Greatest American Hero.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about.
Making Shazam like that.
Yeah, why wouldn't they think that Shazam fans would want him to be a badass? You know.
Well, I mean,
I haven't seen the movie yet, guys. So if you're listening to this, and you're saying he is a badass, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah, no, he is a kid, but so that's the idea, I guess, right?
Well, he says Shazam and turns into a man.
But he's still got the kid's brain.
Yeah, he's still got this kid's personality.
It wasn't like that when I was a kid and watching a TV show, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the TV show. Yeah, when he rode around the Winnebago and all that.
Really? I don't
remember I don't remember this Shazam TV show at all.
Yeah, he would turn into basically Superman with a lightning bolt on his chest.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, exactly what he is, basically.
Yeah, except for his power is based in magic.
That's another thing, about the DC Marvel thing that's kind of the idea behind this podcast is... They always copy each other. You got the same heroes with different names, and they purposely, the comic writers, Wade Wilson, Slade Wilson, you know, and Slade versus Wade, and they leave and go to Marvel or vice versa and create these characters and copy them and name them very similar on purpose.
Right.
And so you got the equivalent. It's Aquaman. Almost like mythology. You have the Roman stuff and the Greek stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same gods and goddesses, but different names.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing. They've been doing that for years.
Is that Flash and Quicksilver?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, you got Hulkman and Falcon.
Yeah.
And I always thought the Falcon looked way cooler than Hulkman. He's got freaking wings on his back.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
I love the Falcon's wings under his arms.
Right.
That's why the personalities of the characters are so important to, you know, distinguish them from somebody else who's got similar powers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in DC, at least... Movie wise, so far, they don't flesh that out. They give you a quick little couple flashback scenes, and you're just supposed to fill in the blanks. And I can get that to a degree, you know. And I'm not saying spoon feed me everything, you know, like I'm some kind of child. But damn, I mean, I would like to see Clark Kent as a teenager for a little while and in school, and you know, the first time he does get a cat out of a tree, I just want to see that.
Right.
I don't have to be a world-ending villain the first movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be great. We got that. We proved that with the Christopher Reeve
stuff.
It could
just be a situation that
he's
got to
overcome.
And the love affair,
you know.
Yeah.
We got invested in that in the old movies.
Right. Lois shot him. He shot Clark Kent to prove it because she knew. And he was like, no. And then had to tell her the truth. Well, I mean, she already knew. So, I mean, you had that.
And when she jumped over Niagara Falls,
yes,
to make him save her.
Exactly.
I thought, that's genius.
Halfway down, she's like, I hope I was right.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. I think
we missed out on a lot. And I hadn't thought about that until you mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast.
Yeah.
But they rushed it way too fast.
Yeah, they just skipped straight to, we got to catch up to Marvel. And I think that was the mentality.
We didn't get enough of those close calls with Kryptonite and all that stuff, you know?
Right, right.
Then, another thing with DC is, obviously they weren't patient, but they wanted to like separate them. You know, they wanted to distinguish themselves from Marvel, so they didn't want to do it the way Marvel did it. They wanted to, because Marvel, introduced like everybody like separately, and then they had a together movie. They wanted to wanted to be so different. They wanted to be like a different tone, because they didn't want to be like Marvel. They didn't want to set up the universe the same way, because they didn't want to be like Marvel.
Right.
And I think that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Because I would have been like, that's exactly how we should do it. They're showing us how to do it.
Yeah, the formula is proven.
And I'd be like, sooner or later, Marvel's going to run out of steam, and we'll be there to pick up the slack.
Look at Coke and Pepsi. How fucking similar they are when you really get down to it, how similar they are, but how successful both companies have been.
Right.
And they have been battling
because
tooth and nail.
It's a proven strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people like that formula. Why would I veer so far away from it? You know, if I want to be in that game, I need to be real close.
Right. It's like Marvel's selling the Coke and they're trying and DC's trying to repackage water.
Exactly. And say it's like Coke. And it's say a substitute for Coke.
Exactly.
No, we're different. I mean, it's like Marvel's showing you how to do it. Just copy them.
Yeah.
Because like I said, sooner or later, they're going to run out of steam and you're going to be like getting your stride.
Yeah.
You're right, dude.
That's true.
That's exactly
like in
right.
5 years when nobody, they're not making Marvel movies anymore. DC's just like getting to their team up movie.
Right. They have all these movies to do for Wonder Woman and Flash and Aquaman individually. Superman, they never finished really. You go back to the Batman was supposed to happen. I guess that's not happening now.
I will say
Ben Affleck,
the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes,
I'm telling you, I will be at the theater to see that. And that is DC, but I like Joaquin. I know what he's capable of, and I can see him filling those shoes right there. So,
how did you like the Joker in Suicide Squad?
I never even watched Suicide Squad because I hated the idea.
To be honest with you, it was acceptable to me.
Yeah.
For what it was. But I hated the way the movie was filmed and shot.
But that's what I mean. Was that not a separate universe?
I think so.
Right? Because it's not the same Joker in Harley Quinn.
The Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, that's not in the DCEU.
It is not?
It's not.
Oh, shit.
Hell.
I think they dropped the ball
there. Suicide Squad Joker is.
Really?
That Joker is supposed to be, like, if there was a separate Batman movie that Ben Affleck has now canceled, apparently.
Right.
But that's the Joker that he goes against, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I thought they were setting this up.
They have that Bass Ackwards.
I thought they were setting this up for him to be introduced into that.
Right. World. They're doing that completely backwards.
That's what I've read, at least.
I mean, I haven't read anything. That was just my gut thinking, they're making a good move here.
I thought it was, too. That's exactly what I thought.
They're setting up this great villain and somebody that's going to possibly fill Heath Ledger's shoes to introduce into that and help with box office and everything.
So appeal. Now this is a waste. It's essentially wasted.
But DC's kind of moved, I think they're just wanting to make movies now. If it fits, it fits. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I think you're right.
I mean, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Let's just forget all the rest of them so there's no pressure on continuity. And let's just make them individually and just accept them individually.
And that's just a cop-out. Dude,
fuck a universe.
You're worried about continuity. That's just a cop-out. That's just do some research. I mean, all you got to do is jump on a message board and just listen to these people talk.
That's right. And listen to the fans.
Hey, literally, the director get on there and say, what do you think about Tony Stark? Everybody be telling you their opinions on him.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's okay. That's what I'm going to base the character on.
You're right. I'll tell you, man, another thing about DC that I always did not like was if their characters work, they're going to give you, okay, you got Batman, you got Batgirl. You got Superman, you got Supergirl. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Expand your mind a little bit. You know?
Yeah, it's the same thing. We'll just change.
Like you said earlier, Flash, Kid Flash.
Oh, now that's what I hated about. But we were talking about Flash. I was going to say that earlier when Ho brought up the Flash stuff. I had to stop watching CW shows. There's too many speedsters. That's number
There's
one.
There's a lot. They are drawn from the comics, though.
Yeah, way overdone. I hated all that, having so many Flashes, because it takes away from Barry Allen,
yeah,
the actual Flash,
don't it?
Or whichever version it is, because he's dead in some instances and not. But the other thing was the politics, that's what you're kind of mentioning, James, is the political bullshit. I'm done with it. I just
Politics were bad on Supergirl, like, especially. The other shows, not, I mean, Arrow and The Flash, not so much. Black Lightning, I liked Black Lightning. I watched the first season of it, but then they got too political.
You can't, because, like, it's like the Star Wars The Last Jedi thing. You don't like it, and all of a sudden, it's your fault. It's my fault because I grew up liking Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia being a badass and all that stuff. And then you change these characters to pussies.
Yeah.
Or in Luke's case, at least. And throw this political stuff in my face, and it has nothing to do with the Star Wars universe. And you have a shitty plot where you literally run out of gas. And then you call me the problem. Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Supergirl. Me and you watched Supergirl for, what, 2 or 3 seasons over here. And it just got so, so outrageous. It's like, it's not even about Supergirl anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a lot of people complaining about Supergirl online.
Now, yeah, I mean.
Which is sad because I like the character. I mean, I like the actress playing her. I like the support characters and stuff. It's just, you know, just keep the politics out of it.
Right. I mean, cause we watch these things to get away from the news.
I mean, it's kind of like over-the-top politics. It's not like Star Trek was back in the day where they were talking about social issues, but it wasn't like on the nose.
Yeah. Right. It was
about themes of being themes of humanity and stuff and how we could be better as people and stuff.
Exactly. And that's
but they didn't preach it.
That's what I was going to say, because we talked about this a little bit before and I mentioned Gene Roddenberry. I said, these people forget Gene Roddenberry existed. You look at the Star Trek, you didn't care. Right. You didn't give a shit about any of that. You loved all the characters, period, because that's what they focused on.
Yeah.
That was just a secondary thing of where they each individually came from. So he was the pioneer for diversity.
Right.
And it worked because it didn't make it about diversity.
That's this has kind of drifted a little bit, but that's what I liked about the G.I. Joe that we grew up with. The Real American Hero.
The cartoon?
Yeah, the cartoon and the action figures and everything is diverse, multicultural characters, and they would tackle a theme like bullying or something like I was saying, without going over the top politically.
Right.
You know, and as a kid, you know, it was really cool. You get a lesson in each show or something, and I don't know.
Yeah,
there's a way to do it.
Kids of all backgrounds loved all these shows.
Yeah.
And all learn from them, but now they flipped it to make the race or gender or whatever the forefront.
And it should be.
And it's, instead of the lesson being the forefront. They pulled that out. I mean, that's fine. I'm fine with it.
Is proof America has no problem with a woman being a badass.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, look, Princess Leia. There's a prime example. I mean, that was in 1978. I'm sorry, 77.
Red Sonja.
Ooh. I mean, you had the He-Man universe, badass women. Uh-huh. I mean, G.I. Joe, badass women. It's like we've seen all that. We grew up with this stuff, and now today they're acting like it was the first time.
Yep, we never.
And it's like, wait a minute, did you forget that the first Marvel movie was Blade?
And Deadpool's kicking ass.
Oh yeah,
love. Box office wise and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't it break the record? Didn't it break? I mean,
for R rated or?
Sure. I think it. I don't know. And I would love a little Deadpool cameo in Endgame. I don't know if they had time to do it, but with the contract going through and it wasn't official or whatever. Between Fox and Marvel, but
I know somebody online was like suggesting that Deadpool take the place of Stan Lee as cameos in all the other movies.
Oh yeah.
I saw that. I think that's a good idea.
I still like to see Stan Lee, even if they just pass by a picture or something. Or
he could be
a picture on the wall, or
he could be. Yep, they could hold a newspaper up, and there could be a picture of him there or something. Yeah, something,
street art or something.
That's cool, ho.
Yeah, that's a great idea, actually. You know, they walk by, and there's a mural on the wall. Back there tagging it, like, actually in the process.
That's cool.
That'd be cool.
Didn't, like, Alfred Hitchcock used to have cameos in all his movies and stuff?
I believe so.
I remember a story, like, my English teacher saying that they were looking for him, and they were looking for him, and he ended up being a statue on somebody's desk.
Oh, that's cool. It's like trying to find a Playboy bunny on the cover of Playboy.
Yes. I may have some experience with that. I don't know. I've heard about that anyway. I read it somewhere in an article.
I was pure of heart, so I didn't know anything about that.
Anyway, I don't know. Are we? Is that where we're at with DC and Marvel?
Yeah, I'd like to hear what people say in the comments as far as, well, you know, basically the premise we started this on is like, what do you think DC's major problem is? How are they going to catch up? And, you know, my premise is that they never will because those characters are just too elementary.
I agree. I don't think they'll catch up either. And I think Ho summed it up well when it's just like, all right, let's just do a movie and to hell with the whole continuity thing and the same universe or any
of
that shit.
They're dropping the ball on it.
And it's just, in the long term, it's not going to work. They'll make money and people will go see them because it is comic movies. But until they have a whole, and I don't know what they have or what they don't have, but Marvel's got a whole, just like Star Wars, there's a whole group of people, they're only to say, okay, you can't do this because this character died back in 1968.
It's smart to have that group.
You know what I mean? And or this character's, remember, their eyes were green.
Yeah.
Like George R. R. Martin has for Ice and Fire.
You need that.
With Ilio and Linda. So there's the studio dog going by, clicking by.
You know, basically just want good stories and want to see them be treated as characters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. At the end of the day, that's what you want, yeah.
But yeah, the Wonder Woman's and the individual movies that they do well like that it'll keep them afloat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see them adapt every story from the comics, but it'd be, they could I don't want the history to repeat itself. I just want the characters to be right, and then they can take some risks and stuff with the storytelling.
Right, because they can adapt the storytelling to current times all the time. But if you don't have that baseline for the characters you're dealing with, then it doesn't matter.
Like, you got to need to have the characters down right so then you can, write how they're going to respond to a situation. Because they're not all going to respond the same way.
Right, and then the human characters that are eventually getting old, let them get old.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, especially in a movie.
Let's not continue to see Batman reboots. That's for any character, Marvel or DC. Yeah. But I don't need to see another Spider-Man origin story.
No, I do not want to see another one.
I don't.
Don't take me back to high school.
So it's not
please.
Just DC in that regard, but let them go, and then you bring in your apprentices and sidekicks, and let them move up, take the mantle, and then they can become Nightwing, for example. And Nightwing's a badass. I mean, he could stand on his own. Just don't force it.
Yeah.
And still
I'd
have
be interested
Batman
to see what
somewhere.
They do with Nightwing.
So what did you say?
I said I'd be interested to see what they do with Nightwing.
I mean, I think it'd be cool to see a trilogy focusing on Dick Grayson growing up to be Nightwing and Batman's as a supporting character.
Yeah.
That's me though, cuz I like Nightwing.
Right. Yeah, well, I could see that work.
Like this Joker movie. How are they going to you're never going to see a Batman, or it's just going to be another Batman, or it's just going to be glimpses of him. Yeah. It's a waste.
That's the problem with doing movies based on comics is that you don't have room to let all this, build up all this stuff, get all the backstories and stuff. I think in some ways, if they do it right, that comics are made for television, I would say.
No, yeah, I would agree with that. I definitely agree with that. It's like Norman Reedus said with The Walking Dead, because it's based off comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine
he said almost exactly that. It was like, you have this time, you have the time to your character to develop and grow, whereas a movie, it's all condensed.
Well,
yeah, imagine if they did a Walking Dead movie compared to the show.
If
you miss out on a lot of stuff.
If that's the case, though, I gotta say, it needs to be big budget. It needs to be Game of Thrones, budget versus whatever you were talking about earlier. Is it WB?
CW, yes. CW. I agree. It's so horrible.
Yeah.
So bad.
I can't watch it. It's visually appealing to me.
It is not. We suffered through that and Flash and Supergirl for a couple seasons, but
I still watch The Flash and Arrow. But
I could watch Arrow because you're not counting on superpowers and special effects and stuff as much.
Arrow's like a poor man's Batman, and they kind of
it's
like they can't have Batman in TV, so they got Green Arrow,
right?
And he's a little more dark and broody than he, from what I understand, he is in the comics.
There was a Daredevil TV show, right?
Yeah, that was on Netflix.
How was it?
I thought it was pretty good. I watched the first two seasons.
I just saw pieces. I never watched.
I thought they did a pretty good job on it. It was like, you know,
because they introduced the Punisher there, right?
Yeah,
the Sega Punisher was the prison scene when they introduced him.
Sega season of that.
Yeah,
I might have to go back and at least give that a little shot.
It's gone. It's all gone. They took it
on Netflix anymore.
They took it off because Marvel started.
Did they take it off?
They canceled all of them.
I mean, I know they canceled, but
they may be playing reruns for a while. I don't know.
I mean, the Netflix series would all, like, all 13 episodes would drop on the same day.
Right. I'm saying, yeah, they're not making any more, so I don't know if they're.
Okay. I think they're still on, they got to still be on Netflix.
I'll check it out.
They're doing their own service, so I think that's the reason. So I don't know.
But Luke Cage was pretty good, I thought. I thought they were all, like, pretty good for what they were. I mean, they didn't rely on, like, pretty grounded, if that's your thing. If that's your complaint,
I just don't want to watch something that looks like, you know how soap operas.
Yes, and they're walking on the sidewalk and you hear the wood.
Yes.
Yes. I can't stand. I can't deal with it.
You feel like, yeah, it's a camcorder almost. It is. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want that feel. I want a good budget, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought they did a pretty good job on the Netflix shows and had Jessica Jones.
But see,
and
I think that's what they count on is people like you. To just diehard comic people
who will put up
with any shortcoming just because they want to see a comic thing. I think the audience ought to demand better.
Yeah, but I don't know any. I didn't know. I mean, I know who Daredevil was. I didn't know who Jessica Jones was or Luke Cage or.
Well, no, I'm just
Iron
saying.
Fist.
It would, even if
but I'd give it a shot. It's like I've watched it once, but I didn't go back and rewatch them.
But I think that's what they count on, though.
They're worth watching at least once.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they got canceled, so we know it didn't work out.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, yeah, people are going to give them a shot, but I don't think there's anybody that was even – probably some hardcore fans, but after a couple episodes of cheesiness, you just –
And that's what's going to happen with DC. I think the audience is speaking loudly with their wallet.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know how good Aquaman did since it's the latest one, but – It's.
I think Aquaman did pretty well, and I think Captain Marvel is doing pretty well.
Right, but the question is, does the follow-up do well? Because everybody's going to go see Aquaman because it's the first one, and you like Jason Momoa,
right?
As Aquaman, I think he's looks cool.
He looks as cool as possible.
Right, he does. But the movie was just cheesy.
Yeah, they
but it was colorful. But it was colorful.
It's worth watching.
The Black Manta or whatever, like that should have been. His
maybe the
villain or whatever.
Yeah,
you
in the second
mean?
Movie.
Maybe they're setting him up for the second movie.
Or the first movie, and somehow, you know, whatever. He should have his own movie. He shouldn't be like a little side character or whatever, because as a kid, I remember the Black Manta being his arch enemy.
Well, they did have it after mid-credit scene or whatever with them.
Right, but the point is like introduce him there, let him have his origin story, and some little mini things like
rush job.
Exactly, he never rescued the average fishing boat.
Right,
you know, it went straight to a villain, a super villain. You know, so
it was going
to
destroy the world.
It was going to destroy the world.
Yeah, whole fucking world.
Exactly what I was saying earlier. So leave him for the second movie after you develop his, you know. Let him rescue some cats.
Amen.
And develop his love interest and all that stuff. And then bring in Black Manta for a whole movie.
A whole movie. It'd be, yeah.
Well, maybe it'd be in the whole movie next time.
It's possible.
But now he's played out almost. It's almost
I agree.
Like
he's already got his ass whipped.
Yeah,
and all
it's
that
like,
shit.
What's the point?
I can't believe he's going to be a big threat again. Ever.
I can't either. I can't imagine it. Now that he's got his trident.
Yeah.
Now that he's the king, he's Aquaman. So, yeah, I don't know.
Let me spray paint this suit. This one will get him.
Right. The Red Manta.
I'm different.
Anyway, I guess we'll wrap it up. I think we're a little over an hour here, an hour and 15 minutes or so.
Cool.
So, yeah, we're a little all over the place, but that's the beauty of this podcast is we don't have to stay in a box. So I think we hit on the Marvel and DC stuff pretty good, though.
I think we
got into some, you know, political stuff on TV and Star Wars examples, but
I think it was awesome.
I think it works. But anyway, yeah, let us know what you think in the comments on YouTube. And again, this podcast is available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Spotify, and Podbean. Did I get them all? And we'll keep expanding that for if people want to do other platforms. You know, let us know. Shoot me an email. The links are in every description of every video. Thanks, Ho, for stopping by and joining us on our second episode.
Appreciate it, bud. You're welcome.
Enjoyed it.
But anyway, yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. And again, we'll just talk and let it fade out. We don't really have a intro or outro yet. Right. You know, so we just
sounds good.
We'll just sit here and let it fade out as usual when we're just talking and cutting up. So
hit it, Ho.
Yeah. Ho's going to sing now. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
You want him to come back.